Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
United, play here.
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1, a radio.com station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Morning show with John and Hugh on a very busy Wednesday. Again, a reminder that as of Friday, when Falcons training camp opens up, we are going to be live on the Palatial. Did we figure out whether or not it's the Mobile Kia Studios set?
That's what we're going to call it until we find out otherwise.
All right, that's
fine.
We're going to
play it safe.
Okay.
We're going to play it safe.
We'll roll that way. And we invite you to join us out of training camp because it is free. Oh, charge for you to park and to enter. And there's dollar hot dogs and dollar hamburgers, which, by the way, happen to be pretty good. Those dollar burgers are all right. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had one of those dollar burgers?
Dollar burgers?
Yeah, out there.
I probably have, but I gotta kind of, you know, I kind of like the way I look right now. I can't be indulging. You know what I mean?
Oh, come on.
Can't be indulging.
What?
I lied.
So when
I'm
we go on Friday, it's the racetrack.
Yeah, I go
you
in.
You don't indulge?
No, but what I do when I get a turkey sandwich.
And a big gulp?
And a big gulp.
How many big gulps?
I only get one. I want to go back for two. Because what happens is it's warm outside and the ice melts. I want to go back for two, but I don't do it. But I do want to.
You get snacks.
And I got a snack. I got a donut the last time we were out there. But I had to go run it off, so I ran it off. But yeah, I kind of like the way I look right now. I mean, it's still Thoughtapalooza. So I'm still doing the
Thoughtapalooza. We're hanging on summer just a little bit.
We're gonna hang on summer. Then I put my you know, my winter coat on in a couple more weeks, but right
eating.
Now, yeah, but right now it's still Thoughtapalooza.
And we are voting on our Vision Computer poll of the day up at our Twitter right now after 24 hours now after the news broke about Julio Jones. What will Julio do now? Will he show up late for camp? Will he skip camp entirely, which, by the way, is the leading vote getter at the moment? Will he miss the start of the season or will he sit out the entire year?
You know what? I just had this epiphany. I should have thought about this before we actually put the poll up.
Mm-hmm.
One of the choices should have been, or will he do sit-ups in the parking lot? Since we're talking, you know, since everybody's worried about, they're feeling like this whole thing had something to do with T.O., we should have put the sit-ups in the
but
parking lot.
But you know what? Well, you're right about the Matapalooza picture about Julio in the sense that, you know,
he was looking swole.
Yeah, because that's why he was, you know, he intentionally did that whole taking my shirt off, suns out, guns out photo because he wanted to make sure everybody saw. He had been doing sit-ups and bench pressing in the driveway with T.O.
Yeah, he's been working out. He's definitely been working out.
You're not going to give me any more crap about that Tevin Coleman thing now.
I didn't say anything about it, John. I didn't say anything about it. I did not bring it up.
I was checking.
I was just chuckling. I had a thought that I did not want to share on the air.
Okay.
That's all. But it was not about you talking about how Tevin Coleman looked when he was in the locker room with his shirt off. That wasn't it.
All I said was, dude's cut.
He's like, boy, he's a big guy.
I was surprised how big a guy he was.
Oh, okay.
It's like when I saw Justin Fields at the spring game for Georgia, because I didn't get to see him play in high school at Harrison High. What struck me was Justin Fields was a larger human being than I thought he was going to be, a more, you know, smaller kind of guy.
No, these
but
kids
Justin
are big.
Fields has got some size to him.
These kids are big. There's no question about that. These are some big
You didn't
kids.
Notice Vic Beasley when he showed up, and all of a sudden he his arms looked like he was like.
But see, this is the problem. And see, I'm pretty sure if Vic or somebody in his family's listening, because I've said this to Vic, he need to work on them legs. He need to work on them legs. Looking like a Greek guy with no legs. He's like,
we used to say, Tweety Bird?
Yeah, basically. Got guns for days. Where's that foundation, son? You gotta get some squats. That's just me. You know, big lower waist. He got to get some base to get a base under. But no, they're in shape. They're in shape.
46% are saying he'll skip camp entirely. 24% say he will show up late for camp. Well, that's a given at this point. 14% say he's going to miss the start of the season, and 16% say he will sit out the entire year. That would be a shame, wouldn't it? We'll get more into this with Jeff Schultz, who's now with The Athletic. He left the AJC, but he spoke with Arthur Blank yesterday. He's agreed to come on the show to talk about that. We'll do that in 18 minutes. Meantime, Alabama gets the old kiss of death. Okay. You know about the SI curse if you're old school. Does anybody remember the SI curse? All right. Okay. You know about the Madden curse, correct?
Yes.
And you know about the Hard Knocks curse, right? There is a new thing now out there, which is called Training Days, and Alabama is going to be welcoming the ESPN cameras into Alabama's camp this year. They're going to be, according to the press release, the series Training Days will go inside the practices and closed-door meetings and delve into the all-consuming efforts of head coach Nick Saban, the assistant coaches of players, as they prepare to defend their college football playoff national championship. So here come the ESPN cameras into Tuscaloosa to bring you Alabama fall practice large and in charge.
What's the Hard Knocks curse?
Well, I don't think anybody who's ever been on Hard Knocks has won the Super Bowl, right?
But all the teams that basically been on Hard Knocks have not really been that good. I mean, what good team has been on Hard Knocks?
I'd have to go back to the list.
Was Baltimore on after they won the Super Bowl? Or how did Baltimore is the only team I can think of.
I know that they've had, like, the Jets.
Most of the teams have been bad.
Yeah, but they put us on there. And what happened to the Falcons?
Falcons are soft.
I mean, man, we went tanking after that. It was like, oh, my God, really?
The Falcons aren't tough.
They're not tough.
Bull spit.
Didn't he say bull spit?
That was like an impression of Mike Bell doing an impression of Mike Smith. That was tremendous.
Most teams, like when I say not good, I mean they've had some struggles as of late because most teams, like the top tier teams, don't really do it. And now it's gotten to the point where the NFL kind of strong arms teams and makes them do it. But they don't. They only strong arm certain teams.
Right.
When you think about it, have you seen Hard Knocks with the Patriots? Have they had one of those?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the list.
I wonder why. Better go somewhere with that. Bob Kraft ain't having that.
Well, doesn't each team have to be on Hard Knocks?
I don't know what the rules are.
It feels like some teams have doubled
there's
up.
There's some rule about Hard Knocks and the London games is tied together in some way or shape.
The teams that people really want to see that will probably get the viewings, I don't think they're exempt. Think about it, though. Like, there's only a certain number of teams that do Hard Knocks, and most of them are the teams you rely on.
I know that there's another college show out there that's gone into camp because Michigan had it last year or year before where they were in Michigan's fall camp. And you saw what happened with Jim Harbaugh. So I'm just saying. I don't know. As a fan, I remember when we first heard about the Falcons getting Hard Knocks and I went, oh, no. I just don't want them there. I don't know why. It's just like disruptive to me.
Here's the criteria. Teams are exempt from being forced to participate in three circumstances. One, they have appeared in the past 10 years. Two, they have a first-year head coach. Or three, they reached the playoffs in either of the two preceding seasons.
Okay.
Right.
And New England has made the playoffs
every year. Okay, so yeah. And Daryl just pointed out to me that nobody has doubled up. It just felt like it's been a double up. I was on a Hard Knocks. I did the Hard Knocks with the Jacksonville Jaguars, where I got cut.
Well, is this year a double up, though? I mean, they're doing Cleveland this year, right?
Yes.
It's not a double up.
But it feels like a double up.
They've never
done
Cleveland before, huh?
No, they did Cincinnati, but not Cleveland.
I'll be darned.
Correction. Cincinnati has doubled up.
See? I knew it felt like it.
It has to be 10 years, though. Now it has to be 10 years.
Oh, okay. It felt like it.
Well, you know, Cincinnati's benefited from Hard Knocks because. Oh, wait.
2009 and 2013 for Cincinnati.
Yeah, because nobody wants to do it, man.
Right.
Nobody really wants to do it.
So if Alabama doesn't make the playoff this year, you know why.
Man, listen.
Because it's this Training Days ESPN thing, and we'll have a new thing that nobody will want to do it.
John, listen. Alabama going to make the playoffs, man. I don't know. That kiss of death, that might be a little bit lofty. You're hoping that this is the kiss of death for Alabama. I don't think this is kiss of death.
Are you more tired of Alabama or New England?
I'm not tired of Alabama. I'm not a fan per se, but I like the way Coach Saban has done things with his program, and he's kind of the model for everybody else.
There's no question of that.
Yeah, because what Urban Meyer is trying to do, well, he's doing at Ohio State what Coach Saban is doing in Alabama.
Kirby Smart and Dabo Sweeney.
I just don't like New England because of Tom Brady. And the fact that his wife is, like, super hot, and he's a quarterback, and he's winning, and he's won, like, multiple Super Bowls, and he's been to multiple Super Bowls. He makes it look easy. That's why I hate Tom Brady.
Did you ever sack him?
No, I got close, but he threw the ball in for a completion.
I got close.
No, and you know what? That's the reason. I mean, you know, and I know Daryl's looking at me like, oh, those are all hater reasons. Yes, they are. I mean, they are. I mean, there's no question about it. He got a hot wife. He's a quarterback. He's won multiple Super Bowls. Yes. Those are all hater reasons to hate the Patriots. But I do.
And you're from Ohio, and he went to Michigan.
Yes, that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Ohio and Michigan, the Big Ten this year, one of the stories kind of just when the Big Ten media days ended yesterday, got kind of a little swept under the radar, is the Big Ten is out there defending the fact that they're going to be playing Friday night football games because a lot of the media members, last year was the first year the Big Ten played games on Friday night, and they're going to do it for 6 years. And a lot of the schools are squawking hard, saying we will not do this and we will not play on Friday nights. And the Big Ten is going, well, you know, if you play – I don't have a problem with Friday night games if you're going to play in that opening Labor Day weekend or you're going to play, Hugh, at the very end of the year, you know, a Friday game in the final kind of week of Thanksgiving. So Labor Day weekend and Thanksgiving weekend, I don't really have a problem with Friday games. During the season, I just think that's a really bad look for college football.
Yeah, in Ohio, man, Friday nights, I'm saying that because I'm from Ohio, but I'm pretty sure it's like that everywhere, especially when you have kids that are in families that are invested in their children that play football. Friday nights are reserved for high school football games.
Darn right they are.
They're reserved for high school. And high school football in many regions like it is down here in Atlanta is a big deal. It's a huge deal. And for you to infringe on that and put families in bad spots, that's not cool. I don't think that's cool. It was always a pecking order when it came to football, especially when the season starts. Friday night. Well, Thursday night was for the peewees, the JV.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night was for varsity. Saturday, college. Sunday, NFL, and Monday, you know, respectively. So, yeah, it's when you start moving games on Friday night, you're putting a lot of families in a bad spot, and they're going to have to make decisions that they really shouldn't have to make when it comes to that, whether or not you're going to watch the kid or watch their favorite team.
I mean, we have college football on Saturdays. We also have college football on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays now, okay? I mean, the college football Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because Mid-America Conference, those other conferences want to get ESPN love, so they move games to – you have Mid-American games on, like, Tuesday, right? You've seen these.
Maxion,
right? And so, and of course, they have the big Thursday night college football games, which has become a big deal over the last 15 or 20 years. I get that. That's fine. There's no reason for them to invade Friday night. I can't even begin to think of what the SEC, somebody would propose to the SEC that they follow the Big Ten's lead and play on Friday night. Can you imagine Georgia playing a Friday night game in late September in Athens? There'd be no way in hell I'd do that if I'm Kirby Smart. Because you'd have the coaches at Buford and every place else just all up in your feeling. So I think it's just kind of all wrong. All right, I tell you what's right, though. Your chance to win $1,000.
It's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
folder, F-O-L-D-E-R, folder to 72881, folder to 72881.
I can't think of anything, John. I've been sitting here trying to think of something to say.
You are not allowed to take any more PTO slips out of Sean's folder.
Oh.
That's a good one. Yeah, no, I was thinking about how to butcher the English language. Because that always goes over well.
How would you have to think about that when you just do that with ease?
No, but I'm saying sometimes I had to put a lot of effort into this because it goes over so well with the listeners sometimes. They love it. They love it when I butcher the English language like I do. And I love doing it. But I couldn't think on my feet this time.
I hear that's the way they are.
Yeah. I couldn't think on my feet this time, AT, so I couldn't come up with nothing.
How about I fold her, I'd make dinner tonight.
There you go. Look at John freaking coming through for me. And Wendy rolling her eyes.
That was such a stretch.
I fold her.
I got one. I fold her to stop playing with me, but she kept on.
These are worse than the Laffy Taffy jokes.
The ones that you get on the candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are bad.
I fold her. I left my phone at the house.
The bazooka.
That's why I didn't call her back.
it's just like the bazooka bubble gum.
It only take one or two, and then I get growing. He got it going. He lit the match. Now it's on.
Thank you, John.
Folder, F-O-L-D-E-R to 72881. Folder to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text or drive. As you get $1,000, you have to the top of the
$1,000.
To get that done.
I fold her to come on. She was taking too long. And here come the angry tweets in 3, 2, 1.
You're not funny.
Jeff Schultz, who's not with The Athletic, spoke with Arthur Blank yesterday. A little insight from Jeff, who's been pretty close to this Julio situation. We're going to talk to him live next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh. Joins us live Jeff. This morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for the intro and the plug.
So, Jeff, you know, we've been chopping this whole Julio thing up for the last couple of days. And, you know, the Falcons came out and said that, you know, they're willing to restructure his contract next season. Is this about restructuring or is this about all new money for Julio Jones?
Well, that's a good question. I think in most cases, much like when they did this current deal, even though the extension didn't start until 2016, they completely redid his 2015 compensation.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you go back and look at his original contract, he was scheduled to make somewhere around 10 or 11 million, and he ended up, you know, once you get past the signing bonus and the roster bonus and everything else, I think he ended up walking away with 22 million that year or something. So in general, when you do a new deal, let's say, I mean, it's not going to happen now, but next year, if they redo the deal, I think they would probably slide a lot of money up toward the front. Because particularly when you get to a certain age in athletics, you want that money right away because you don't know how much longer you're going to be playing.
Well, that's absolutely the case now. So the big question is, Jeff, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to vote in our Vision Computer poll this morning, okay?
Oh, God.
All right. Okay. No, here it is.
I'm not even a cup of coffee today. I don't know if I can make a decision, but go ahead.
All right. So 24 hours after the Julio Jones report, what will Julio do now? Will he show up late for camp? Will he skip camp entirely? Will he miss the start of the season? Would he sit out the entire year?
And I inserted this last one just that for, you know, giggles. Will he end up doing sit-ups in the driveway?
Okay. Even with his newfound friendship with T.O., I'm pretty sure that last one could be eliminated. I'm going to go with the first one. I think he shows up at camp late. And I know, gee, go figure. I saw your tweet from your station this morning, the mass hysteria on Twitter about Julio, and I totally get that. But I think this time of year, the media and fans tend to overreact to everything. It really doesn't matter yet. And I would say it becomes a major, major concern if he misses, let's say, more than two preseason. If he's not in by the second preseason game or just after the second preseason game, I think it's a problem because you want to make sure he has at least, what, maybe 2 weeks of practice to get ready for the season. But I would venture to say right now that assuming he's not there Thursday, that he will miss some time, but he'll be in shortly after that.
You know what? We've been all speculating on the language and the conversation that the Falcons have had with Julio Jones. Did they take a hard line with this whole saying, no, we're not going to do a kick rocks? Or did they kind of try to let him know, like, listen, we're willing to try to do this over, but you got to give us a little bit of time? Or did they just, like I said, did they just try to take a hard line on this?
I think they were pretty clear from first of all, Hugh, I think partly they actually were a little blindsided. I think when they first set up the contract and, you know, I mean, guys in the front office in general are pretty smart. They know which way the markets are going, and they know what the contracts for players are going to be at certain positions. And when they gave him that 5-year contract, and they knew the stature of the player he was, and they saw the market for wide receivers, they figured they probably would have to revisit it 3 years into a 5-year deal. And really, it would be 4 years into a 6-year deal if you go back to that renegotiated 15 years. So give them credit for that. And they were very clear about that for a while. And then I think it was reaffirmed to Julio really just a couple of weeks ago through his agent, I think. I mean, I think I don't know. See, the wild card in here is I think nobody really knows what's going through Julio's mind right now. Mm. To some degree, I think this is a little bit out of character for him. He's a team guy, and obviously when you do something like this, some people, although I think somewhat inaccurately, view it as it's all about me and ego thing, and it's hard to know where his mind is at right now. So I think from the Falcons' perspective, they've always pretty much made it clear, look, we can't do it 3 years out. We just can't do it because the way our budget is set up is – we have to do these other deals. Obviously, you don't necessarily want to set a precedent also for doing contracts 3 years out, because, you know, then everybody else is knocking on your door. But I don't know how he got it into his head that, well, maybe I could push this. And you know what? In the end, maybe, you know, he does get something. I know I had a column yesterday with Arthur Blank saying he's not going to get involved in negotiations right now. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point he did jump in and they did do something, you know, shifted some guarantee money from next year to this year, maybe threw in a couple incentives. There are always things you can do, but I obviously the Falcons don't really want to do it, and I'm not really sure they have necessarily a ton of space to do it.
Jeff Schultz of The Athletic spoke with Arthur Blank, with Mr. Blank yesterday, and the quote was that he's going to leave it up to, and full faith and credit in, Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn to get this done, and those two have been kind of front and center. Certainly Dan Quinn's relationship with Julio on that personal level is going to be, you know, a strong, you know, leading indicator as to whether they can get him in, you know, in an appropriate time. But yet, Jeff, this camp was Friday. It's first practice. It isn't that this is going to be a distraction. The question is how much of a distraction.
Well, you know, and Hugh could speak to this. I think in general, players have players' backs when it comes to salary things. Again, I think these things externally tend to be a much bigger issue than they are internally. I think it becomes an internal issue, and players really start to get bothered if, number one, the player never really was perceived as a team guy, and that's certainly not the case here. And number two, if people like you and me and everybody else every day is asking questions every single day. Wow, can you win a Super Bowl without Julio? Wow, what's it like with Julio not here? Hey, have you talked to Julio? I mean, those questions are going to come every day. And I think that's when it starts to become a distraction. And yes, I think that's when maybe a couple of guys might start to gain a little animosity toward the situation. But I really don't think, and maybe I'm naive here, but I've been around locker rooms a lot, and I've certainly covered my share of contract holdouts out in L.A. and San Francisco, particularly L.A. I just don't think players internally really hold it against a player when he's trying to get more money.
So, Jeff, I know we haven't really, you know, we're chopping it up, but what is your gut telling you about this whole Julio Jones situation? I mean, what is your, you know, you're looking at it, what is your gut telling you about it? Is he going to come to camp? Is he going to come to the first game, or is he going to hold out? What do you think what's going to happen with this?
My gut, like I said earlier, my gut is telling me he wants to make a statement. He wants a little more money. I don't think he misses any regular season games. It wouldn't shock me if he missed a preseason game or even two. My gut also tells me, and I've mentioned this before, even though he hasn't said this, is I don't think Julio wants to play that much longer. I just view him as a different kind of guy with a lot of outside interests. He's, you know, he's part of a major mixed-use development out in Buford. I know he's got some other things going on in his business life. And I think he has a little bit, and I've said this before, a little bit of Calvin Johnson in him, in that he wants to get out of the game early. He's got some other things. He wants to get out healthy. He's made a lot of money. He's a smart guy. He loves football, but I just don't think he wants to do it forever. And he's 29 years old. It wouldn't surprise me if he only wanted to play a couple more years. And I think this, what's going on right now, stems a little bit from that. And again, this is just me purely speculating, but if you're Julio Jones and you came in and you played for this year's contract, and let's say you had a slightly down year, or let's say you hurt your foot and you played, let's say, 11 games, and you had a decent year, but you played 11 games, and now you're going to the negotiating table, you know, after this season. Now suddenly the Falcons are saying, "Well, wait a minute. You know, we were going to redo your deal, but this happened and this happened and this happened in 2018, and now you've really kind of lost your leverage." So it would make sense, if I were Julio Jones, this is what I would be thinking: I need to get the guarantees now, because as much as people want to say, "Well, you're not going to cut Julio Jones," well, they're not going to cut him this year. But you don't really know what's going to happen next year. Next year, he's going to be 30 years old. Mm-hmm. They've drafted a wide receiver of the future. I mean, these are all things that go through an athlete's mind. And so I really believe, this is just me, that it wouldn't shock me if that's playing into this a little bit, that it's not so much I'm vastly underpaid. It might be a little bit of that. But I think it's more, I really have no guarantees after this year. He really has no guarantees now, but obviously they're not going to cut him this year. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just about to say, if you get out to camp on Friday, I know we're going to have a hard time, not talking about Julio, but we got to focus on the other things. Because this is player for player a great football team, Jeff. It's just got to be done. I got about 30 seconds. Is this a Super Bowl winning team even without Julio?
Without Julio, no. Okay. I think he's a difference maker. With Julio, I think it's a team that wins the Super Bowl. Without Julio, I have to see it. I mean, I would have to see some other significant passing threats. I think people would be assuming a lot about Calvin Ridley to say it's still a team that wins the Super Bowl without him.
All right, Jeff, appreciate it. See you on Friday.
You're the man, Jeff.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, Jeff Schultz of The Athletic at theathletic.com. It is a great website. And
a little Calvin Johnson name. That's kind of big right there.
Hey, a week from tonight is the MLS All-Star Game. We have it covered. Dukes and Bell going to be at the soccer celebration at the International Plaza area. 2-6, Mike Conney, Jason Longshore. A MLS All-Star Game preview starting right after Dukes and Bell, and they'll have All-Star Game commentary through the game. When we get back, we swing into that area of the show. Noon as Hughes World.
Yes, we'll ask you how far you'll go to entertain. On the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay, let's do it.
We're giving away $250,000.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bruh.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind
of Hugh Douglas.
This segment, as always, has been brought to you by Camus, the Game Day Cognac. Because you can make any day a game day with the Game Day Cognac. Camus. Now, I got a question. How far would you guys go to entertain, to do, fun stuff? Like, Wendy, I think I heard you say on more than one occasion that you might go, skydiving or something. I know you talk about shooting the hooch and doing stuff crazy like that.
I would love to go skydiving. Shot the hooch, been ziplining, rappelled off a building. Yes, give me all of it.
So, this is Shark Week. Shark Week's coming up. But something happened during Shark Week to a guy that we all know and we all love, because he's the type of guy that every time you see, he's always entertaining. He's done a few movies. He's been Uncle Drew. He was Steel. I'm talking about Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaquille O'Neal is known for, cracking jokes and everything, but it got a little real for Shaq. Shaq was in the cage for Shark Week. And I guess what happened was a shark broke into the cage that he was in. And he kind of freaked out a little bit. And he kind of lost it. And he was in there holding the guy's hand. The sharks are getting, he's like, I guess what happened was, you got to see it. I think it aired the other night. But basically, the shark got in the cage with Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen, the shark didn't touch him or anything like that. It didn't bite him. But it swam close to him. And he was holding, one of the guys in the shark tank hand, because he was a little nervous and scared about it. So it was like a bad look for the big fella. It was a real bad look for the big fella.
He couldn't just go kazam and disappear? I'm just asking.
That was a bad joke, John Freaky. That was a bad joke.
Hey, but you know what? I see these guys do this because we were watching Shark Week last night, because Tammy just had it on.
So it didn't air last night. It wasn't last night.
It was Guy Fieri last night.
Okay.
And so they have Guy Fieri, and he's in the water with his son, and they're at the bottom, and they come off the boat, they start chumming with blood and fish off the boat, and the sharks are, what do you expect when you start chumming with fish? No!
But not only that, John Freaky, haven't we learned anything from the young lady who got her finger bit fooling around with them sharks? Listen, I don't care if it's a baby shark. I'm not getting in the water with sharks. Like to get in the water with guppies or what's those one fish that everybody like to eat down in Florida, the grouper. Do you see them? Some of them groupers?
Are they huge?
Them suckers are huge and they eat people. They can eat your whole hand. Dude, I'm not fooling around with no fish, man. So, listen, I understand that shark, Shaq, went out and got him a nice little boat or whatnot, and he wants to, be in touch with nature and do all this fun stuff. But, man, that right there is ridiculous, man. I'm not fooling around with no sharks.
Yeah, me either. No. I'm not getting in it. Yeah, I'm not doing Shark Week. Nah.
Yeah, and there was another story I want to talk about. Jimmy Garoppolo. Did y'all see the story yesterday where Jimmy Garoppolo was saying that, at one point when he was with the the New England Patriots that he felt that he was better than Tom Brady.
I saw that.
And he got a lot of heat.
Well, yeah. Well, there's that whole TB12 thing, right? I mean, he wasn't allowed to go to TB12. Those two must have not gotten along very well.
Well, to me, I think it was a little bit of that Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre thing because, you know, Brett Favre really didn't do anything to help Aaron Rodgers out. And I think as he got older, Aaron kind of realized where Brett Favre was coming from because they kind of got together and they had a kumbaya moment. But I'm going to tell you like this, John. I really didn't have a problem with Jimmy Garoppolo saying what he said. Because as an athlete, even if it's not true to the masses, I think that you should always feel that you're better than the person that's in front of you. I mean, I think that's what drives you as a competitor. I think that's what I think is a good, healthy attitude to have, even if that's not the case. So I did not have a problem with what Jimmy Garoppolo said about being better than Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing now is you got to go out and prove it. And he's going to get his opportunity out there in San Fran. There's no question about that. So, I mean, I did not have a problem with that. And another thing I wanted to do today, since this is a potpourri segment for me today, I want to give a shout out to all my Twitter followers that told me about the video game Horizon Zero Dawn for the PlayStation 4. It's a really good game, man. It's about this. It's the main character is a lady. Her name is Aloy, and it's set in the distant future. Why Wendy's looking at me all crazy? Where we have gone back to our roots, where we're hunters and gatherers. And we're not using technology.
You are Hugh. You're a hunter and gatherer.
Well, yes, and
except
I'm a woman.
To play the game of this where we use
And I'm a woman. I had a little problem with that. Yeah, I don't like playing video games where the main character is a woman because it's a masculine thing. I know it's bad, but it is. But it's a really, really good game, Daryl. I know you're a little bit of a gamer, but it's about Aloy and she's trying to find her. Like why she's existed? Because it's like in the tribes. If you don't have a mother, then you're an outcast in the tribe. So she's trying to figure out what happened to her mother. Come to find out, she's a clone. Haven't finished the game yet, but
is it
come
a spoiler
to find
alert?
Out.
Are you spoiling?
You can't spoil a video game. Not a video game that's
yes,
like.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. Not a video game that's like 2 or 3 years old. It's a 2 or 3 year old video game.
Did you know about it before you got it?
No, I didn't. But exactly. That's why I gave a shout out. But I gave a shout out to the listeners of the show and the people on my Twitter feed because they gave me the heads up on this video game. And it was a really good video game. So I want to give everybody a shout out for that because it was really good. I'm into it. There's so much stuff to do in this game. It's one of those games, John Freaky, that you're looking at me like a crazy because I know you don't play video games. But it's like a free fall where you can just roam around the whole game playing experience and do like these side missions and everything. And if you don't want to do the main mission.
When does Madden drop? Does anybody know?
In a couple of weeks. I don't play Madden, though.
Yeah, I think
next week?
Yeah, August
4th or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be next week, yeah. It's coming up soon.
Yeah,
I mean,
August
that'll be.
4th. Yeah, Daryl's right, I think.
Yeah,
come
that'll
on,
be.
Man, I do this.
I know. Do you ever get into tournaments for money?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah, because they make, it's like, I don't know that they make, what is it, Fortnite or something? They're making all, is that like the.
Fortnite, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Fork knife. I'll call it fork knife. The ninja dude makes like $500,000 a month just on, I think it's Twitch or YouTube or whatever they call it, where he's live streaming playing video.
Because people
games.
Watch him play. People watch that cat play.
Man.
I made $1,200 in a tournament once before.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Madden?
Mm-hmm.
What team were you?
The Raiders.
Oh, that's why you only made $1,200. See, if you had played a real team.
I was the winner.
John was waiting for that.
Yeah, that's a dad joke.
Well, you walked into it. I can't help that.
Hey, man.
You know. Hey, congrats to you on that one. The Atlanta Braves getting ready to host the Los Angeles Dodgers of Los Angeles.
Just gave them a new name?
No, as opposed to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim off
man,
the 57.
Disrespecting that
Disneyland.
Team, man. They're going to beat your Braves up.
Yeah, they're pretty good right now. Yeah. They're like, you get them, and then you got the Marlins coming back to town. But, yeah, the Dodgers are pretty
juice decent. Boxes, John. Let's do it.
I don't want
challenge.
You
hey, oh, you back? You stuttering? You
stuttering?
Not juice box is something else.
Sprite.
Sprite is better.
All right.
Six pack.
All right.
As we get ready for the Dodgers series, the Braves on an off day today. What they did yesterday, which wasn't good, and where they stand now. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.